Praise God. Would you take your seats if you're at home? Take your couch or your whatever, wherever you are, or if you're listening and walking along online, just keyed in. Just God's got a word for you, and it's wonderful to be a people who honor the word above all things, because the word of God is living and powerful. Jesus became, the word became flesh, and so he is the word. That's one of his names. And we're just going to look, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and it's an encouraging word that I have for you this morning, and I believe a real envisioning word. And most of you will know that Jesus is in a place called Caesarea Philippi when he says, who do people say I am? Who do other people say that I am? And he's asking the disciples, his followers, and he's saying, go on then, who do you say? Who do you say I am? And Jesus answers in Matthew 16, Peter answers Jesus, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are God. And Jesus answers Peter and says, blessed are you. In other words, you didn't reveal this to yourself. Nobody else could tell you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. So it's amazing to be so blessed to see that Jesus is the Christ. That's who Christians are. They've seen. God has revealed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that makes you blessed. That makes you blessed, empowered to prosper in your life because you know Jesus. And God himself has opened your eyes to see him. I don't think we should ever get over the fact that Jesus has opened our eyes. I need never to get over that truth, that I am someone who has seen who Jesus is. He's not just a person in history. He is the Christ, the Messiah. The one the Jews were waiting for has actually come. The one that was promised. And he is God himself. And then Jesus speaks back to Peter and he says, I say to you, Peter, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I love this. Jesus starts this conversation calling Peter by his natural name, Simon. Simon Bar-Jonah. And then once Simon has seen that Jesus is the Christ, he then calls him by a new name. And this speaks of God's identity, who he says we are. And God sees that we are not what we were born naturally to be. We are born of God by seeing that Jesus is the Christ. Therefore, we're completely new people. The old has passed. New things have come. Jesus has given birth to a child, his own children. And we are all sons of God, Scripture says, through faith in Christ Jesus. That makes us different. And so Jesus is saying, you're different to what your parents gave birth to. You are completely different because God gave birth to something that is wonderful, that new person in Christ Jesus. Not a work of the flesh, but born of God. And he says, on this rock I will build my church. And he's speaking not about Peter. He's speaking about the rock of the revelation of Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of the church. Jesus is the life of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's our everything. He's the centerpiece of the universe. He's the center of heaven. All of heaven worships the Lamb, worships Jesus. And Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. Jesus is building his church. And We need to understand what he means by church. Church means called out ones. People who've been called out of what you were born to be, to the new birth, born of God. People who've been brought out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And the church, the word for church Jesus used is ecclesia. And that word is Greek, and it actually means called out to govern, to reign, to legislate in life. Jesus says, my church isn't a building, it's people. People who've seen that Jesus is the Christ, people who are new, have a new identity in God, and people who are called out of natural life, called out of natural birth, into a new birth, into the kingdom. And he is building his church, his people. And he says something about us. Because we are called to govern by bringing the kingdom of heaven, the gates of hell, the very gates of hell will not prevail. Now, in that place, there was a cave called the gates of hell. And Jesus was standing there as he's saying this to these 12 disciples. And at that place were human sacrifices to evil powers. And Jesus says, whatever the evil that's going on, you are the called out ones who are in this place to govern and bring the reign of the King, Jesus. That's what his kingdom means, to bring Jesus' reign here on earth. And that makes us, as the church, special, unique. Because we're here to bring the reign of God. And then he says to Peter, I've given you, basically, it's all yours. The kingdom of heaven is ours. Jesus gave it to us as a gift when he came to be Lord of our lives. But he said, I'll give you the keys. The keys that unlock, that loose heaven. And the keys that stop evil advancing. Now, in the mind of a Jew, they thought kind of worship and temple life was restricted to a location. God was saying, wherever you are, you have the keys. Whether you're at home, at work, at school, it doesn't matter where you are, I've given you the keys. And you are my people, and whatever you actually bind or tie up or stop will be stopped. Because you have authority in my name, representing me as king, my will as king, to see the reign of Jesus on earth as it is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 18, he goes on about who we are. And in Matthew 18, verse 18, it says, Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if you two agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two agree. Now, this doesn't mean agreeing for your will. It's speaking about a harmony, an agreement with him as king, where Jesus is reigning over you and you agree with another person where Jesus is reigning over their mind, their will, their lives, agreeing concerning anything, speaking about where you work, the people who live around you, in your own lives and circumstances, that wherever there's that agreement together, that harmony as believers, which is why unity is so important amongst us, that we're to be united under one head, Jesus Christ, his people. Wherever you agree concerning anything, just listen to this word. It will be done. Do you know what done means? It means accomplished, finished. If you've done your work, it means you've finished for the day, doesn't it? So whenever you agree concerning anything, and then Jesus goes on to say, For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, representing me, he's basically saying, I've given you the keys to agree in prayer and it'll be done. Now, that's one great big key within the keys, plural, he's given us, prayer. Asking and agreeing together, two or three. That means in our homes, in our workplaces. It doesn't matter where we are. We can come together in agreement with another believer who's under the reign of Jesus, under the influence of his will, and ask. And Jesus himself promises it will be done. And I love the word done. It will be done. Finished. And Jesus had this concept of the church that I think we need to be renewed in our minds of. And that was that we're like the leaven in the whole dough. The dough being the world, and we're like the leaven. And if you put yeast or leaven in dough, what happens? It grows and it influences everything. And the early church influenced everything. It was an invasive work of God. It invaded society so much that people said, Jerusalem has been filled with their teaching. And in Acts 19, you can read about it. It says even the whole of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Why? Because the church were being the called out ones, bringing the government, the reign of Jesus everywhere in society. Now, I believe in the corporate gathering. That is biblical. It's God's will that you're equipped by the word, like you are being this morning, gathering in the way that we can, so that we can go out and be church, the called out ones governing in society, seeing the reign of the kingdom. And it comes through this great big key, two or three gathering together in his name, agreeing in prayer. This week, Pastor Andrea, it was actually the week before, her exhaust fell off her car. And just the back bit dropped off. And I have to say, this car is so old, it's literally falling apart. And she realized that I need to get a new car and it's not my expertise, don't know what to do, prayed. And on Friday, on our day off, we went to a showroom. And as we went in, we'd booked an appointment. And she's chosen a new car, used car. And she's going to pick up this car, the keys, and drive off in this safe and all working together car. And hopefully it'll happen next week. But literally, her old car has been pretty, it's literally had it. And the thing about picking up that car is that you have to use the key. If you're not going to get off the forecourt. So with having everything paid for, everything done, imagine if she just kind of left it as a concept. As a concept, just stuck on that in that showroom. There's my concept. And I think often as the church, we think the kingdom is a concept that's just there, but it isn't anything we really live in, and it's nothing that we really see happening. And the thing is, unless you use the key, the concept doesn't become what you actually experience. Because if she uses the key, she's going to experience everything that car can do. Amen? And if we use the keys that Jesus said we have, then we're going to drive off into the reality of the happening reality. Now, Jesus has paid for everything. And you could say you can go to the showroom anytime. The Word of God. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to which one's the right one for this job. What's your word on it? And then pray. Agree together in the name of Jesus concerning this. Use that key and it will become your experience. You see, everything in the kingdom has been given to us. And Jesus says, I've given you the key. Whatever you loose will be loosed. But I'll give you what you need to pray in agreement with my will to see my kingdom come and my work done in the sphere of influence that you have as a believer. You see, God has put you exactly where he wants you. You are exactly where he wants you. And you are a new creation. And he has given you keys. But we need to use them effectively so that we can unlock and release the kingdom of heaven where we live and work and relate to people and see that invasive leaven of the kingdom grow throughout the world around us. That makes you really significant. You were always significant because Jesus died for you. But it makes you a significant person in transforming society. Because God himself has given you keys. Now, the world is falling apart. It doesn't know what to do. But there is a king here. And his kingdom is everything good and nothing missing. And God wants what's in the kingdom, everything good, nothing missing, for everyone. He's so good, he wants them to experience the kingdom of heaven. Just like in the days of Jesus, where people experienced the goodness of God. They experienced, it wasn't just a showroom that was a concept. It literally affected lives. It literally, they drove it off and lived in it. And this is why it's not showtime, it's real time. It's a real time for the Church of Jesus Christ to unlock and release the power and authority of the King wherever they live. Now, the early church knew that this was the secret of their power. It was a key. It was a key to why they infiltrated the whole of where they lived. And you know, you can look in other places. You can look over there saying, isn't it amazing what God's doing over there? Perhaps we better go. And God says, actually, I've given you. And sometimes we feel, me, little old me. And God says, it's not your little old you anymore. I am with you. And I am in your midst. In other words, the King is present when we gather together in his name to agree concerning this. Now, just going to have a look at the early church turning, using this key to bring a change in society. Okay, we're just going to look at one example in the book of Acts. So let's turn. I keep looking at all these people here because I haven't seen them for very long. But I am including you at home. I'm so sorry. Acts chapter 12. I've always preferred preaching to a live crowd that's in the room. I know you're living at home too. You are alive. Both ways. But it's... I can't forget. So forgive me for that. Acts 12. Wonderful, wonderful insight, really, into the church loosing heaven and stopping evil. The Lord isn't beaten by a pandemic. He's already beaten it. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to him. And he's given you the keys, the authority to access everything in your Father's house, to ask for it to be done, and it will be done. Amazing, amazing. So he's not flummoxed, and neither are we. Everything might look like it's falling apart with unemployment. And I am sure there's going to be lack and need on earth. But in the kingdom, there's only plenty. Which is why we have to access what's in the kingdom for the future days. Hello. For the days to come, you will need to use this and believe in it. That's really important, that we're not showroom concept people, but we are living realities. That all that the Father has is mine, and he's given me the key to bringing it into my experience here on earth, and into the experience of the poor and the broken and the needy, because there will be many that we can pray for and see God's prosperity and blessing come. Just think, my Father owns it all. Everything is, he has everything. His power to do anything, as he has proven throughout history. But let it be something we don't just read about, but we drive out into and see a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. Acts chapter 12, we're just going to look at this shortly and briefly, but hopefully it'll pack a punch in your spirit and change the way you think about life. About this time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison, delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now Herod was about to bring him out, and there's a story that goes with that. There is a but here. The church. We're using their key. Herod is like a symbol of a Satan-inspired dictatorship, leadership. Hates is Antichrist and hates whatever is of God. Killed James. Now, James was a key man in the church. In Iran, in the last few days, a young man has been executed. So it's that kind of atmosphere, apparently for doing nothing. I don't know the story fully. But this is a reality. So James, the leader, one of the biggest leaders in the church at that time, he was killed. And Herod was about to take Peter's head off. Now, what I love about it, you'll see it in the story later, is that Peter was sleeping. Do you not think that's remarkable? Okay, so you're about to be executed tomorrow. And you're having a wonderful sleep, chained to two soldiers, and with a high security prison around. And all that matters to you is, I get a good night's sleep. Isn't that remarkable? That's the reign of God in Peter, the reign of peace. One of the signs of the rule of God is peace. You can always tell when the king isn't really reigning is that you don't have peace. Good sign. So don't panic. The king is here. Let's let him reign in our lives. But the church were constantly praying. Now that word actually is a medical term for stretching a muscle to its limit. So the church was stretching their prayer muscle to its limit. Remember, the church isn't buildings, it's God's people, believers. They were stretching a muscle to its limit, praying, not kind of like, you know, I cut my hedge. My hedge is a big hedge. I cut my hedge a couple of weeks ago, and I have to get a ladder, get up on my roof, board my roof out, and use, a hedge trimmer, you know, one of these machines. And it's literally, you have to pray you'll stay on the roof, number one, safe. And leaning over, I've got to get across like this and try and move this. And by the end of it, I have stretched my muscles to the limit. So that's what it means. It means actually you are at the end of your ability to give anything more in prayer. See, I think sometimes we just expect prayer to be just a little weak. Lord bless us. This isn't the kind of prayer that stops someone being executed and releasing the kingdom of heaven and stopping evil. The gates of Hades did not prevail in this situation because two or three or more gathered together to pray. And I can imagine that prayer meeting because they were all filled with the Spirit. So they were praying, not like we have to hear, loud, strong, probably in a concert that sounded like every instrument was on the go at the same time, saying, Lord, you said, pray, deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver us from this evil. You said you will show yourself strong on behalf of those who are loyal to you. You said, Lord, that you would keep us with your power. So come, Lord, and do something. Well, while they're praying, something's happening, and I can't read the whole story today because of time, but an angel is sent from God. God sends, in answer to the prayer, an angel. The people didn't send an angel. God answered the prayer. The church loosed the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, and an angel came. And it says, while Peter's sleeping there, light shone in the prison, and this angel, I mean, he had to pretty much, it was like he was in such a deep sleep, he struck Peter. Can you imagine being struck by an angel? This is all answered prayer. Phenomenal. This is true. This is driving the thing off the forecourt. This is actually living experience, right? This is what we're to believe for, church. This is why we're here. That our God is able to release angels to deliver people and advance the kingdom. And so the angel strikes Peter. Ooh. He probably thought it was one of the guards turning over, you know, chained to the guard. But he was struck and told, get your clothes on. That's a bit like Monday morning with the kids is going to school. Put your shoes on. Now put your coat on. It's all there. The angel's telling him every step. But because Peter thought he was in a dream. So he didn't think he was even awake while this is happening. But come on, mate, get up. Put your clothes on, put your shoes on, put your coat on. And then he leads him. Chains fell off. Leads him through high security prison. The gates to the city, they opened. And Peter went down a street and the angel just disappeared. Because when they've done what they've needed to do, angels won't hang around in your visual in that experience. But you will be in the promise that was prayed in a prayer meeting. What was happening in someone's room brought about a manifestation of the reign of God. You see, Herod thought, I'm in charge. And the devil loves to say, I'm in charge. He loves to say, you can never get out of this. But our God is here. And wherever two or three agree concerning anything, it will be done. And so we see a manifestation of the goodness of God. That there was a great deliverance from evil. Our expectation will be astounded if we use the key in the way Jesus says to use it. We see what's ours that he's already paid for. And he wants this kingdom to be experienced not just by the church. It's time for the world to experience the kingdom, the goodness of our God. So Peter goes to the room, the disciples are praying, and I love it, they haven't stopped, they're still stretching out. And, it would have been a great prayer meeting to be part of. And you know, when you're in twos or threes, if all we do is bless me, my dog, my wife, my cat, bless me, my job, bless me. In fact, just bless me again. Now, God wants to bless you. It doesn't mean to not pray, because God will meet all your needs. But he has designed us to bring the kingdom in our sphere of influence. Peter knocks on the door. Love this. They're carrying on praying, and this girl called Rhoda answers the door. He must have had to raise her. Rather than, they're not listening, they can't hear me, because they're all in there in the prayer meeting. And Rhoda goes to the sees it's Peter. I love this, and goes, can you believe it? Runs back in. Goes back over to the people saying, it's Peter. No, it isn't. Don't be silly. It's almost like they didn't believe. But somehow God's grace was in it all. And God did it. And she said, no, really, he's there. And you know, let's go for being astonished that God will do more than we could ask or imagine. So when you are at the door seeing the manifestation, you're going, it's more than I could ask or imagine. This is incredible. Because our God, he is the same today as he was in that time. Herod basically was shown our God reigns over the kingdoms of all people. It's time, church, to see and show and demonstrate that our God rules over all. And he is a good king. He's a king of love. He's a king who is kind and generous. He's a king who loves to bless people and bring heaven's experience into someone else's life. The key. What a powerful key. May God refresh. Many of you know that this is a key. But may God refresh your prayer life. That your key, you will use this key to unlock heaven, to unlock the King, where you live, where you work, where people live around you, so that there is a tangible experience of the goodness of God around us. We cannot be stopped, church. The kingdom cannot stop advancing. We are not on hold. We are advancing. And the King is advancing through us. I heard this wonderful story of a taxi driver. I think it was in South America. And he kind of got this revelation that Jesus wanted to reign through his life. He just said, right, Lord, he was a simple guy. I'll take that. He didn't just hear the word and say, let's keep it in the showroom. He said, I want to drive in that. I want this kingdom to be my experience so that people around me, everybody around me, gets affected. So in his home, he said, Lord, come and take your place. Come and reign, Jesus. Be the one we look to and refer to, and not me dominating or her dominating, but Jesus dominating. Hello, anybody? Let Jesus be Lord here. And everything began to change in his home life and experience. Presence of God filled his home, and it makes a difference to everything. Jesus makes the difference. I am there in their midst among them. And then, because he drove a taxi and had a taxi business, he said, Lord, let my taxis be the Ark of the Covenant. Which means, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was a manifestation of the presence of God amongst God's people. So he's basically saying, come and manifest yourself in my taxi. Brilliant. Because he didn't just want Jesus to fill his heart. He didn't just want Jesus to fill his family life. He wanted Jesus in his business, in his working life. Now, a lot of us, you know, can live detached and say, Sundays is this, prayer time's this, but then I go to work. And Jesus wants to bring the reign of the kingdom through you in every sphere that you have influence. So he just invited Jesus to come into the taxi. Driving along, people would be impacted with peace. And he said to the Lord, I don't get along enough with people. They're experiencing you. What should I do? And he said, well, go down to that bar you used to go to before you were saved, where all the druggies are and the prostitutes. Get down there and I'll show you what to do. Just walk in and say, come and reign. Come and take over here. Come and take over here, Lord. So he walked in. Come and take over, Lord. One by one, they started to get saved. Out of drugs, off drugs, into the kingdom of heaven. They were hungry to come into the kingdom because they saw that the king is good and they wanted what they could never get in the world. Because there's nothing good. Everything will fall apart in the world. But the kingdom will remain the same. And our king has nothing but a desire to love and bless people. Anyway, he became so influential, the Lord told him, I want you to become mayor of this town. So he walked in, he got voted in. Couldn't believe it. He got voted in, so he walked into the town hall and he said, just like home, just like taxis, doesn't matter how big it is, come and fill it. And the whole system in that town was based on corruption. And he turned everything around to make it right in God's eyes. He said, we are refusing corruption. The drug cartels were defeated in that place. Many people, the town, one after another got saved. Just because one person said, I think I'm going to do this now. I'm not going to leave it as a concept. I'm going to bring it in. Come, Lord, and take your place. From a taxi to a town hall to a whole community. Nothing is impossible. Keys. Jesus is in charge, but he will show his reign as we use our keys. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for these keys. Amen. We're just going to finish with prayer. And if you are at home, please stand with us. We're going to stand. And we dedicated ourselves to the Lord at the beginning. But in a fresh way, maybe having heard the word this morning, just surrender your home and say, Lord, come. If you are someone who doesn't have other believers around you, you can still say, come, Lord. Come and take your place. Because you are kind of the dwelling place of God there. The Spirit of the Lord lives in you. In your family, in your relationship, husband, wife, a single person. Let's just lift our hands and say, Lord, come. Come and take your place, Lord. Take over in my home. Come and be Lord. I manifest your presence in every choice and decision, in every conversation and response and reaction with my children. Come, Lord, and reign over my family, my children. Come and take your place. Lord, nothing's too difficult for you. Come and reign over my family. Even if they're not in my home, they're part of me. Lord, come. Come and bring your reign. And Lord, my work, where I work, my office, my working life, where I go, school, business, come and be the senior partner. Come and reign. Take over, Lord. Take over the atmosphere in the office. Come and bring your peace. Take over, Lord, and bless those who are harassed around me and need help every day to see a way forward. Lord, come. Come and presence yourself where I live and work. My neighbors, Lord. All of them, Lord. Come and reign. And Lord, may I always see with these great big eyes that Scripture gives me, that vision, that the early church used that key. Oh Lord, I don't want it to be a concept. I want it to be a living reality. Come, Lord, and bring your kingdom through my life. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, your kingdom come. Let's just pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, whatever we don't know what to do, you know. And we can just ask you, what shall we do, Jesus? What shall we do? And you'll take us through your Spirit. You'll remind us of the things that Jesus has said, or you'll give us a promise from your Scriptures so that we know what to do. And we know what to bring in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we've been in twos and threes throughout the summer. Thank you for the power of getting together with other believers and stretching ourselves beyond just weak prayers into the power of earnest desire to see your kingdom come in a real way. And I pray that you would raise up the spirit of prayer in our homes and in our workplaces with other believers, Lord. We connect and pray it in. Pray in the powerful reign of King Jesus. Lord, thank you that prayer is unchained and unlimited because our power is yours. You are God. And thank you that we're in a day where you're going to show yourself strong. I just thank you, Lord, for willing hearts at home, where if you're listening online or right here in this moment, we just say yes, Lord, to your reign. Come and do it, Lord. What we've heard and seen in other generations, we don't want it to stay in the showroom. We want to make it ours and live in the blessing of all that the King died and rose again to pay for. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for each other. And we thank you that wherever two or three ask and agree together in your name, it will be done. And that you, Lord, are in our midst. Be glorified through your church. Let's just finish with yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.